Okay, so we're going to go through the Haggadah. We're up to, in my book, okay, I'm using this wonderful sefer called Sefer Kehilchos HaPesach by Rav Michal Aryeh Rand. I'm using this as a text in order to go through some of the inyanim. Most of what I'm telling you is coming here from here, but I'm going to try to embellish some of the things that we're going to discuss with some other ideas that I've come across elsewhere. Okay, so I believe we're up to in this sefer. We're up to Hesebo. Why? First of all, the important question is exactly what items in the Haggadah are we required, in the Seder, are we required to lean? Again, we will lean on the left side. If you don't lean, you're not Yotze. You have to do it again. You have to drink the Yayin again. You have to drink the Matzah again. But exactly what parts of the Seder is there a requirement, at least Lichatchila, to do Hesebo? So the end, let's go through. Yayin for sure. When you drink wine, you have to do Hesebo. Matzah for sure. Maitzi matzah for sure. Afikoymin for sure. Korech. What about korech? The answer is yes. Since korech has with it matzah, so korech also lechatchila. The shayla, the big shayla is, what about karpas? This is a very, very big machloikis. There is no mention if a person should do haseba in Shulchan Aruch when you eat karpas. So it's a machloikis. Some do, some do not. Some hold bedavka, you should. Because karpas represents chayrus. How does karpas? First of all, we're going to come to karpas in a few moments. Why do we eat karpas? The main reason why we eat karpas, does anyone know? Believe it or not, is only for one purpose. So the children should ask. If the children should ask, that's the primary reason why we karpas. It has nothing to do with chayrus. There is absolutely no reason why you should lean on your left side when you eat karpas. However, others say karpas is really an extension of moror. Samach perach, karpas is the letter samach perach. 600,000 people did crushing slave labor in Egypt. And that's what it represents, the tears. We dip the lettuce in salt water. Salt water it represents tears, tsar. Lettuce is it's the most humble form of food available in the market. So it represents tsar. If it's moror, then there's absolutely also no reason why you should do heseba. You do not do heseba when you eat moror.
So what was this whole discussion yesterday that karpas has to be in the Seder in a certain position?
That's the way Chazal established the Seder. Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, there is tradition. This is the halacha. Karpas is an essential part of the Seder. Chazal Chazal have established that there should be something called karpas, primarily in order to arouse the curiosity of the children to ask what in the world is going on tonight.
In the case of let's say a soldier up front, so all he does is he drinks the arbakaisis and he...
Ain't a chanami. So, 100%, but if you're not a soldier on the front lines and you're at home and you have the option of having karpas, so it says in Shulchan Aruch he's supposed to have karpas. I don't have anything else to say. You're right. Karpas is part of the Seder. First of all, who says that most of the commentators said that it was not the night of the Seder?
Right.
It was the whole during the year. They were standing, they were talking, learning the whole night until the Giyas Makriyash Rosh Hashachas. So they're not allowed to be up the whole night. They're being mivatel a mitzvah. If they're up the whole night talking about Sibi Yitzias and Shaima, they don't eat matzah, and they don't drink the four kosos, they're not Yotze. They're not role models for us. They're not, a role model is a person that follows the rules. You can be very Talmud Chacham, you can be brilliant and do all you want, but if you don't do the basics, if you don't follow the rules, then you're not a role model. You're not a role model. He always talks, he's one of the biggest Yankee fans in the world is Rak Kefet, Rabbi Rak Kefet. Aaron Rak Kefet. He always talks about the Yankees and the sports, so he's always talking, always likes to embellish his shiur about the Yankees. So before Derek Jeter got married, right? Before, now he's married, right? He's married now. He got married. Before he was married, he always used to say he always bothered him to no end. He's the captain, and he's a celebrity. He said, "What kind of role model is he for all of his fans when he's not married?" He always used to say this. You can be the biggest celebrity. You're not married, you're nothing. You're nothing. He's
well, what kind of a husband would he be if he's here 162 games? He's somewhere.
Not necessarily. They're wide, whatever it is. You know, so the Rabbanon, they have to follow the rules. They follow the rules, then they enter into the Haggadah. Okay, Karpas, one of the primary things of the Sefer. Okay, now, so the question over here is, Karpas, what does Karpas represent? Is Karpas, is it Cherus, or is it Oini, or is it neutral? So there are many opinions. We just mentioned, some say the primary reason why I have Karpas is in order to arouse the curiosity of the children. Number two, Karpas represents a degree, a form of bitterness, tsar, tears, salt water, vegetables. Zocharnu es hadogash or ochlu b'mitrayim. What's the pasuk go on to describe all the vegetables? Es haftiach. Yes, Rabbi, you remember the pasuk? Zocharnu es hadogash or ochlu b'mitrayim.
Asher nochal b'mitrayim. Chinam esak yishuvim yesav atichim yesav solos v'yakod nafshenu yishuvim.
Okay, five different vegetables are mentioned. This was the food. This pasuk, when Klal Yisrael complained about this itself, is an idea, a very powerful idea of Agada. When you begin to say there. Let's discuss this now before we continue with Hasei Pakarpas. Rav Meir, you asked a really tough question. What is this all about? You're very disturbed. What is Karpas all about?
So there's
a beautiful, beautiful drush. The beautiful drush is when Klal Yisrael received the man. It's the ultimate bracha. And what did they do after a period of time? Nafshenu yivesha balechem hakoloikel hazeh. Our souls loathe. It's we can't take this. We can't take this anymore. Insubstantial. We can't take this anymore. Oh, if we only can go back to Mitzrayim, the good old days. Zocharnu es hadoga, the fish. Asher noichal b'Mitzrayim chinam. And then they go on to list all the vegetables. Esu avtiach v'es habitzolim hakishuim. V'yes, what's the next? Habitzolim. They list, I don't know, they list a few vegetables. Oh, the pickles, the dill pickles, back in Mitzrayim, that's what we want to go back to. That's what we really miss. That's what we miss in Mitzrayim. The matzah is bimkoim the man. The ugos, shehoitziu mi Mitzrayim, tohamu b'tam man. It says the Klal Yisrael ate man for 40 years. It's not so. They ate man for 39 years and 11 months. No, the Ugo showed Tziu Mimitzrayim had a din man. Before, and what did Klal Yisrael say about the man? Nafshenu yevesha, balechem hakoloikel hazer. They said terrible things. We much rather have the vegetables. The vegetables tasted a lot better than the man. Maschil bignus umisayim b'shvach. The whole Haggadah is built on the principle of maschil bignus mitchila oivdei avoydezara hayu avoseinu. There's a much bigger gnus in the Haggadah that we're maschil. That's much, much greater, much, much worse than avoydezara. You know what that is? To be a kofui toif, and that's how we start the Haggadah. We start the Haggadah by alluding, we begin the Seder, Kadesh, Urchatz, before we get to the Matzah, Rachmanu Litzlan, Maschil Bignus, we were Kofri Toif. We had the Matzah is on the table. We had the Mon. And what do we say about the Mon? Nafshenu Yivesha Balechem HaKoloikam Hazeh, we would much rather eat the vegetables. So when we eat the karpas dipped in salt water, we're reenacting. We don't want to say it because it's so horrible. To say avodah zarah is not so bad. You can say mitchila. You can shuckle. You can have kavana. Talk about avodah zarah. That you can say. But to be a kofui toiv is such a horrible thing. It's such a horror. We can't even say the words. But we allude to it by starting off with vegetables while we have on the table the matzah to remind us what a bunch of fools we were to say about the holy man. Nafshenu yevesha b'lechem hakoloikel. We rather eat the vegetables. Oh, you want the vegetables? Here are the vegetables. They taste good. The karpas taste good. The endives, the celery, the potatoes, it tastes good. Really tastes good. It doesn't taste so good in salt water. You're looking forward to having a satisfying meal of matzah. Okay, that's a very important yisoid of maschil bignus umesayim b'shvach. That's a deep. Now, if that's taka the pshat, then you're not going to do haseba when you eat the karpas, because the karpas either it represents bitterness, it represents the fact of a kofi toif, it represents get the children to ask the question. So there's no need to do haseba. On the other hand, there are Rishonim that say a whole new mahalach, you know, ayin panim u'tayra. Whatever you're going to say, someone's going to say different. You know why you eat karpas? Because that's what they do in the restaurants. That's what they do by the B'nai Malachim. When you go to a state dinner, they serve an appetizer. Before you come to the main course, the appetizer is they have vegetables. It's derech malchus, derech B'nai Malachim. That's why you have karpas before you proceed into the Seder. You have to show it. We're at the Seder, we're B'nai Malachim, and we're going to have an appetizer before we get to the bread. Oh, an appetizer, B'nai Malachim, Malchus, this is Cheirus. Of course, you are required to do Heseba when you eat the karpas. Okay, so you have to first really delve deeply down into the Makar for karpas before you can understand should there be Heseba or not. Now, women, do women do Heseba? Big machlokes. The Rav Yos says the Mishnah Shulchan Aruch women do not need to do a seiba because it was not the derech to do a seiba. However, bezman hazeh the noshim chashuvos, noshim are chashuvos. All it says that only an isha chashuva does a seiba. If a woman is not a chashuva, she does not need to do a seiba. The Ramos says that bezman hazeh in our day and age, noshay didon the all chashuvos. The male and noshim is manazeh are mechuyev to do his seba. But there's a very big nafkamina. The big nafkamina is that if a man forgets to do his seba, you're in trouble. You have to eat the matzah again. You have to drink the cup of wine again. If a woman forgets to do his seba, even though she should, because she's mechuyev, because noshay didon a chashuvais, but since me'ikir hadin noshim do not need to do his seba, it's not their derech to his seba, they do not need to eat the matzah again. They do not need to drink the cup of wine again. That is a very important afmina when it comes to noshim. Okay, now, how do you do a seba? You lean on the left side. You're supposed to lean not just, most people don't do it right. Most people are very hard to have. For us, it's not very comfortable. For most of us, it's torture to do a seba. That's the reality. Because we don't, it's not our derech, but you're supposed to be leaning on your left side to support your back and your head. Last time I looked around the table, I mean, I don't really go out that much, but most people have a very hard time leaning their head. Okay, it's hard enough to lean their back against the side of the chair or against an armchair, but your head should be supported. Some very tall very tall cushioned chair where your head is also supported, so you drink with your head leaning against something. You don't see that too often. Okay, you don't really see that. You don't, but that's really the way Haseba, the proper way Haseba to be done is with your back and your head. I think on YouTube there are videos of Rabelski, and I recall Memory of Rabelski demonstrating the proper way to do Haseba. It has to be also the Chatchila with you. Okay, we don't do it like that. Most people don't do it. Yoitza, just the back is fine enough to lean, even not the back. Most people, they don't even lean against it. They just tilt. They tilt to the left and they drink. That's really bad, because you're supposed to lean. Just tilting on the left side and drinking some wine, that's not really a valid form of Haseba. I saw a beautiful drush as to why we are required to do Haseba. And it emphasized the theme that when you do Haseba, you're leaning on something. You're putting your weight on something else. The essence, the theme of the Haggadah of Pesach is to know that we rely, we lean our weight, we are supported by Hashem. Hashem is taking care of us. When you lean on someone, you're resting your weight. There is someone who is supporting me. Little Lashaf, you go and you have on the bima, you're standing on your davening shemona esrei, you're leaning on a shtender. Is that the right way? Well, if you take away the shtender, if you would fall down, that means you're leaning on the shtender. Then it's no good. But if you take away the support, you would remain standing. That's okay, because that means that shows that you're not really leaning. Haseba means where you're leaning on something to the degree that if you pull away the object that you're leaning on, you're going to fall down and get hurt. That's exactly the essence of what the Seder and the Haggadah is all about, is to show that we are relying, we are resting our weight upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is going to take care of us, He is going to support us and get us through our existence and our purpose here in this world. Okay.
You can't lean on these chairs. You mean,
Right, exactly. So a chair like this
supports itself on the table. You know,
everyone does it. You can't say the whole world is not yaitzah the mitzvah, because everyone, 95% of the population, they sit on a regular chair, and the way they do hesebe is they just lean to the left like this. That's how I do it. I lean to the left, and you drink, and you know, you go back a little bit, and you think you're yaitzah. But that's not really the way you're supposed to hesebe. Hesebe means you're supposed to rest your weight upon something to the point that if you would take away that object, you would fall on the floor. If I'm leaning like this, and you chop off the back of this chair, I'm not going to fall down, because I'm not really leaning on the back of the chair. I'm really sitting. I'm just tilting to the left side. That indicates that I'm not doing the kosher hesebe. And then when you want to be yoytzeh lichatchila with all of the hidurim, it's not just your back that should be leaning, your head should be leaning as well upon something that if you take away, your head would wobble in the wrong direction. Okay, now, we again, okay, so...
You can lean on your wife.
What?
Lean on the person.
So that's a shiloh. You're allowed to lean on another, that's brought down in the Gemara, I think. Are you allowed to lean on, I think you are allowed to lean on a person. I do believe that you could. I'm not mistaken. Who's holding you?
My grandfathers used to have a bed. They put a cot. That's what they used for their
cot.
Chair with about 10 pillows on it.
Right. Tarvikesis.
Literally.
It's a very hard mitzvah to do. Okay, to do a seber the right way is very hard. It's very hard to lean on Hashem to believe that we're really in Hashem's hand. Physically doing a seber parallels the hashkaf of what a seber really represents. The classic. I'm not going to go without telling you. The classic Chazal is what's the makar for a seber? Vayasev Elokim Esa'am Derech Hamidbar Yamsuf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayasev, he turned. Vayasev, he redirected. He redirected Elokim Esa'am Derech HaMidbar through the desert. Instead of allowing them to go directly into Eretz Yisrael, Hashem caused us to go through the Midbar. That opens up a whole new world of what is Hesseb. Hesseb means to redirect. When we do Hesseb, we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's taking us on the long route, the scenic route. Okay, he's taking us in this world. There are some obvious things that there are. We question Hashem very often in life. That's nature. Why? Why did this happen? If only this would have happened, everything would have been perfect. Why did this have to happen? So I have to now go all the way around in life and struggle and this and this and this and this and this. It's a very big nisayon in life. That's what a seba is. A seba is, you lean on your left side to reflect upon the Chazal when they left Mitzrayim. Vayasev Elokim Esa'am Derech HaMidbar Yamsuf. Vayi B'shalach Parach V'loi Nocham Elokim Derech Eretz Pelishtim. Hashem did not take them the easy path. For whatever reason, okay, a lot of reasons, says in the Pasuk, because they'll feel Mochama, the Pasuk says, Vayasev. That's the first lesson you learn in the Haggadah. The whole Seder Haggadah is all about Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this dimension of Emunah, to recognize that we could have gone the easy path and Hashem deliberately took us on the long path for His reasons, is a challenging thought of Emunah that we are required to reflect upon and work with in the Haggadah. Okay, now just going further, another reason why we have a seba, the simplest reason why we have a seba is that you should eat the matzah quickly. Okay, people who are experts in digestion will tell you that if you lean on your left side, you can eat a lot more than if you would be sitting up. And being that the mitzvah is the mitzvah of achila, to eat, we got to get the food down into our stomach as quick as possible, to enhance the ability, kibichipazon, to enhance the element of chipazon, swiftness, hastiness in the mitzvah, we lean on our left side. So Haseba, there are so many different beautiful ideas in Haseba. Okay, let's now go to the next idea. Okay, another very important thing to remember, this is that everyone quotes, this is the Rambam. The Rambam has a chidish noira. The Rambam says you have to Haseba during Shulchan Aruch. It's not just enough to Haseba during Matzah, Motzi Matzah, Nafi Koyman, and Dal Koysais, and Koyrech. The Rambam says during the Su'udah, when you eat your gefilte fish, when you eat your, it's not going to be Lakshin Kugel, that's going to be Chometz, but when you eat your, whatever you're eating, you have to also do Haseba. The Olam is obviously not Nizar in this. It's too much, it's hard enough to regular Haseba, but this is the sheet of the Rambam. Right, now here's a little Jewish. A little Jewish, this is an interesting idea. The Rai, he quotes here from the Sfasemis that the reason why he's going now to discuss a little bit the four Kaisais. Why do we have four Kaisais? The Yitzais, the Yitzalt, the Yitzalt, the Yitzalt, the Sfasemis says the four Kaisais correspond to the four Chushim. What are the four? There are five Chushim, including the Kais Shel Eliyahu are the five. What are the five Chushim?
Probably leaves out smell.
Oh, let's see. Shmiya, hearing. Sight, Re'iyah. Te'ima is tasting. Reach, fragrance, and mishush. Number five is to feel.
Touch.
These are the five chushim that are recognized in the secular world. There are five chushim. Now, this is very interesting. What he says: why do we have four cups of wine? Classic. Okay, that's where it all starts and ends. Four cups of wine correspond to the four lashonis of gula. Now, what are the four psukim? The four psukim are, in those four psukim, it mentions four different sensations. Vayar Elokim es bnei Yisrael, right? That's one part. Vayeda. I'm jumping around in the psukim. Vayeda. It says that Hashem saw our suffering. Hashem knew Yeda. He knew our suffering. It says Vayizkar Elokim. Hashem remembered. And it says, Hashem heard. Hashem heard, Hashem remembered, Hashem saw, and Hashem knew. So the Sfasemis says, these four concepts of seeing, hearing, knowing, and remembering correspond to four of the five chushim. And this is interesting. Obviously, seeing corresponds to seeing, hearing corresponds to hearing, but remembering corresponds to fragrance. That's an eye opener, because Yom Kippur and every day, what do we do every day? We bring the Keteres. What are you really doing when you bring the Keteres? According to the Sfasemis, very deep, when you bring Hashem a Reach Nechoyach, what you're really doing is you're asking Hashem to remember. When you daven, you're asking Hashem to listen. When we suffer, we're asking Hashem, look, Hashem, we suffer. I'm wearing sackcloth. I'm suffering. When you bring Hashem ketores, or when you do a mitzvah and you bring Hashem nachas ruach, a reach nichoyach, the Sfasemis says this is the equivalent of the chush of zechira, of remembrance. When you understand something, das vayeda Elokim, this is equivalent to te'ima, taste. Taste, there's no greater taste in life than understanding. When you understand something, you wake up. It's a sensation like none other. That's equivalent to te'ima. And the last one, coming into Eretz Yisrael, the Havesi, coming into Eretz Yisrael, that's the physical earth. That's touching. That represents the concept of touching. So the four lashonis of Geula correspond to the four cups correspond to the four lashonis of Geula, which in the psukim, which express the four lashonis of Geula, we find five different concepts: seeing, hearing, remembering, knowing, and entering into the land. The deeper meaning underneath these five expressions are really the five senses of hearing, seeing, remembering, corresponding to fragrance, and tasting, which corresponds to knowledge, and coming into the physical area. So we have a homeland, your own place, a place to call your home, that is equivalent to touching. Next idea, simonim. Let's discuss who was the one who invented these simonim. Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas, Yachas, who invented the simonim? So believe it or not, Rashi. That's the tradition. In the Machzor Vitri, which was written by Rashi, it was a collection of things with Rashi. The legend is it was Rashi who was the one who invented the simonim for the Seder. Others disagree. Some say it was the founder of the Baalei Tosfos. His name was Rabbi Shmuel Mipaliza. Mibalei HaTosfos, he was the one who invented the simonim. They're different minhagim. Some have the custom that before you begin the Seder, anyone do this? You're supposed to say all 15 right. Simonim. To begin, right away. Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas, Yachat, you have a song. And then, as you begin each one of the parts of the Seder, you should repeat. Now we're doing Kaddish. Now we're doing Urchatz. Now we're doing Karpas. Now we're doing Yachatz. So this is a different Hagim if you should indeed say the Siman before you begin the Seder. Okay, there are a lot of details about the Siman which I don't remember at this moment, so we'll just go further. Let's go to the next idea. Next idea is the Shechianu. So we all know that just like on Purim, when we make the Shechianu, when we lay in the Megillah, you're supposed to have Kavana. I'm making the Shechianu should go on all of the mitzvahs Hayayim, which includes Mishloach Manos, the Mikra Megillah, includes the Sudas Purim, some say including also Matonos Lo Evyonim. If you learn that Matonos Lo Evyonim is not a din of tzedakah, it's a din of simcha. Likewise, when you make the Shechianu on the night of the Seder, you have to have Kavana that it's going on all of the mitzvahs. You're going to be doing multiple mitzvahs that night. You're going to be eating Maror, you're going to be eating Matzah, you're going to be drinking Yain Da'u Kaisas. It's even going backwards on the Dikas Chametz. The Shechianu that you make at the beginning of the Seder is a catch-all that encompasses many, many different things. Simchas Yontif, and all of these things have to be, you have to have all of these things in mind when you make the Shechianu. It's an afkmina for a woman, because a woman, she makes the Shechianu when she lights candles. There are some women who have a minhag that when their husband makes the bracha Shechianu, she does not answer Amen. You'll ask her, why don't you answer Amen to your husband Shechianu? She'll tell you, you think I'm happy about Pesach. You know how hard I worked to get here. Shechianu, v'kimanu, v'kimanu. He sits and does nothing. So he can make a Shechianu, v'kimanu, v'kimanu. For me, it's slave labor. I have to go answer Amen to his bracha. His Shechianu is not my Shechianu. Okay, that's a joke. The reason why she does not make the Shechianu is because she already made Shechianu when she lit candles, and therefore it would constitute a hefsek if she would answer Amen between the Shechianu and the Bari Priyagofen and the Kiddush. The Shvacha, excuse not to answer Amen. The person can say it's not a hefsek, you can answer Amen, it's not a hefsek. But there are other nafminas, because when a woman makes a Shechianu, what is she really making a Shechianu on when she lights candles? Really mainly on the Simcha of Yom Tov. Does she have Kavana that her Shechianu should go for the Matzah, for the Mar, for the Dalu Kaisais? Not necessarily. So the Shechianu that you make by the Seder, the woman's Shechianu might be like, let's say she makes Kiddush herself. Does she make a Shechianu her or not? A woman makes Kiddush Friday night, she does not make Shechianu, because she already made Shechianu. She already made Shechianu when she lit the candles. But it's not necessarily harmful if she were to answer Amen by the night of the Seder, because there are many different dimensions of Shechianu that are true by the night of the Seder that are not true when it comes to a regular Yom Tov. When it comes to Shavuos, what are you making Shechianu on? Cheesecake? Not really. You're making Shechianu for the Yom Tov. So when she lit candles, she made a Shechianu. When she lit candles, what are you making on the Sukkah? Okay, maybe that's an interesting idea, but really it's for the Yom Tov. Pesach has so many mitzvahs which the Shechianu was chal upon, so it's not so harmful if she would answer Shechianu on the night of the Seder.
In the last 10, 15 years, they teach the girls in yeshiva, at least in some yeshivas, not to make a Shechianu anymore when they like candles.
They rely upon the Shechianu of Kiddush. Right. You don't make so. But like you told me from the Minhag Yisrael Torah, yeah. You can say this to
he
your wife
said,
all she wants.
His wife not to make a Shechianu, which she
says, you don't know what you're talking about.
To me. Good luck to you.
Good luck. Like my rise in one said in the Shir Friday night is that his one night is why he didn't have a blech in the house. There was no blech, so his wife said to him, Rabbi Reisman, he's Mamash, the Pesach Adar. No? So she said to him, we don't have a blech, what are we going to do? So he said, is the food fully cooked? Yeah. It's just a matter of keeping it warm. So you don't need a blech. It's okay. Right. You don't need a blech. So she said to him, where do you come from? What kind of rabbi are you?
Rabbi Holmgren says that also. But we do it because it's a slippery slope.
Right, of course. So she said, what kind of rabbi are you? You don't have a blech? What, are you crazy? Are you an Orthodox rabbi? You're telling me not to have a blech? I'm telling you, no, you don't need a blech. Right? So when you're so accustomed to doing something and then you find out that in certain situations you don't need a blech. You don't need a blech. If the food is fully warm, the food is fully cooked, you don't need a blech. You don't need a blech. And also, you only need a blech to put the food back. You're not going to put the food back on the fire. Yeah, something was on the fire, and you're going to take it off. You're not going to put it back, and the food is fully cooked. You don't need a blech. You don't need a blech. So no woman would ever do that. You know, it's unheard of. Going to Shas, out of blech, on the range. But, okay, just to illustrate, to emphasize your point. So, Enechnam, there are some women, Bizman Hazeh, who do not make a Shechianu when they light candles, and they rely upon the Shechianu that we made at Kiddush on the night of the Seder, or even if every Yom it's exactly the same thing. Next question. This is a very good question. Why don't we make the bracha she'asa nisim la'avosenu bayomim mohim bazman hazeh. The Mitzrayim, some miracles. These are the biggest miracles of history. So Chanukah and Purim, we make a bracha shachyan she'asa nisim la'avosenu bayomim mohim bazman hazeh. Purim, they weren't even nisim gluyim. It was nisim nistarim. So why can't we make a bracha she'asa nisim at the night of the Seder when we recite the Haggadah? It's a very, very tough question which all of the commentators deal with. So let me just tell you some of the good answers that at least resonate with me. Is we do make a shachia, we do make a bracha at the end of the Seder. When we make the bracha asher ga'alanu v'ga'ales avoseinu mimitzrayim, that is the equivalent right before we come to the first kohen, before we come to the Kodesh Sheni, when we do make a bracha, that bracha, Asher Goalanu, is equivalent to the bracha of She'asa Nisim La'avosenu. That's one answer. So we do make a bracha, just a different type of bracha is made. The Prisha says a much more profound answer. He says there's a chilik between a Nes and a Yeshua, a salvation. Matzmiach Yeshuois, Yeshua. A Nes is a miracle. Olam kiminhagai nahog, the world continues to go in its merry way, and something unusual happens. You make a miracle. Yeshua is a complete transformation. It's something that is so magnificent. The bracha she'asa nisim does not capture what happened on Pesach. To leave Mitzrayim, to become the Am HaNivchar, to go to Matan Torah, it's not a miracle. It's much more than a miracle. Miracle is not the right term. It's a transformation of epic proportions. It's a Yeshua. So therefore, the bracha is not appropriate. Now, by the way, the Aruch HaShulchan commented, we didn't get that far, the Aruch HaShulchan commenting on this answer from Rav Amram Gaon, the one that just gives this answer, I tell you, was the preacher quotes of Amram Gaon. Aruch HaShulchan quotes what I just told you. He asks the question, he quotes the answer, and he writes the words, V'lo yodati perusho. I don't understand what this means. I don't understand the answer. I don't understand
it.
Splitting hairs. He's a Nes, and there's a Yeshua. One is a transformation, one is just a miracle. Aruch HaShulchan doesn't like it. You can make the bracha,
On Chanukah and Purim, we say she'asa nisim.
Yeah.
Because things happened, but to say it was a total Yeshua, that you cannot say. Whereas this is, in fact, the terminology you're using, like a transformative experience, very much like a Rav Soloveitchik kind of explanation.
It's in a different league.
Experiential.
It's in a different league, and therefore the bracha nisim is not appropriate. Okay, let's go to another answer. Another answer is given from the Maharil. The Maharil says the bracha was only made for Nisim Derabanan, the rabbinic holidays. Biblical holidays, the brachas, the mitzvahs hayoyim is what expresses the miracles. Matzah, Morar, Karban Pesach, on Sukkah, we have a Sukkah. The mitzvahs of the Yom is Hashem's way of telling us to remember the miracles. So Chazal is not going to step in and say, oh, make a new bracha she'as nisim la'avosenu. On a rabbinic holiday, Chanukah and Purim, so there are no biblical mitzvahs, so the Rabbanan instead didn't say, so you make the bracha she'as nisim. But on a biblical holiday, we already have the mitzvahs themselves express the miracles. Another answer given, I like this answer, is because there's a problem with the nusach. Bayomim hoheim bazman or bizman hazeh. Chanukah and Purim we commemorate events that happened in the past. You'll tell me more, and a chassidish twist is that they reoccur every year, it's true, but it's still bayomim hoheim. It's in the past. It happened once in the past, way, way back. We commemorate, we draw from it. Maybe if you're very spiritual, you can extract and bring that miracle in today's day and age as well. But Pesach, it's happening right now. Chayiv Adam lirois es atzmo ki'ilu hu yotza ulaharos es atzmo. You're living the experience. The bracha, the nusach of the bracha is inappropriate. Bayamim ha'heim. It's kefira to say bayamim ha'heim on the night of Pesach. You're living the experience right now. Now, others say something very similar, is that it's timeless. It's not a matter of, same type of idea, it's not she'asa in the past tense. The miracle of Mitzrayim is, it's our existence is a miracle. Sha'asa, as once upon a time there was a miracle. What was the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim? They tried to destroy us. Paro tried to call Adain Hayila Ha'ir Tashlichu. Oh, Sha'asa Nisim, Hashem did a miracle for us. We survived. We got by. And today we didn't get by. The fact that we're standing here today, that's not a miracle. You're going to go say, Sha'asa in the past tense. So just like it's not appropriate to say Bayamim Hohen, it's not appropriate to say Sha'asa, because our very survival in and of itself is a very great miracle. Okay, next idea. Let's now go to Urchatz. We wash our hands for Tarpas. Why? Since when do you wash your hands when you dip a vegetable in a liquid? It says that you should do this in Shulchan Aruch. That's exactly what it says you should do, but we don't follow this lahalach. We never do this. We never wash our hands in the Tilsa Dayim and make a bracha on the Tilsa Dayim when we dip vegetables in, or dip any food for that matter, any food in a liquid. Einachanami, this is something that really should be done, but we do not do this. Once a year, when Nizer, Pesach, we're all in a very good mood, we're all very spiritual, we're in a kittel, so we upgrade and we do something that ordinarily is not required, but we don't go so far to make a baracha. Okay, that's the basic reason, because it is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Now, there's a difference of custom among different families. Some have the custom only the Rosh Habayis washes for Karpas. Everyone else at the table does not. They bring out a bowl with a Negovasa cup to the Rosh Habayis, and he washes for Karpas, because he is going to be the one who's going to be dipping the vegetable into the distributor, into the liquid, and give it out to the family. So no one else in the family needs to wash Netilas Yadayim without a bracha. That's not the common custom. No. I think most people, they get up, they go to the kitchen, and they have a conversation. Everyone takes off their rings and all the fancy jewelry, and everyone talks and shmoozes, and they wash, and everyone reminded to make a wash without making a bracha. Now, Chazal emphasized that there has to be a double washing. I'm getting a little confused, I'm sorry. Let's go further. Okay, the Ramah says, the reason why you're washing is not really for karpas. It's a mistake. We don't wash when we dip our hands in vegetables. We don't do that bizman hazeh. Oh, and you dip even mizonos. Meikar hadin, if you dip a Danish in a cup of coffee, meikar hadin you mechuyev to wash. You believe that? A Danish, you dip Danish in a cup of coffee. You're not allowed to do that unless you wash your hands netilas yadayim with a revius and you make a bracha of al netilas yadayim. We don't do that, but that's what it says should be done in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah says, you don't do it the whole year. Don't tell me you're going to become more religious the night of the Seder. No such thing. The reason why you're washing your hands before Karpas is because with Karpas, you're really beginning the Haggadah. Karpas, to some degree, is the beginning. I know you say, Man Shtan is the beginning, Avad Minu is the beginning, Metchilo de Avad Mizor is the beginning, Holach Ma'ani is the beginning. The real beginning of the Haggadah is Karpas. That's when you're doing something significant to have the children ask questions. Because Kiddush, you make Kiddush anyway, washing, you wash, and now you're going to dip a vegetable in the liquid and salt water, so the children are going to ask, this is going to open up the Haggadah. You're washing because the Haggadah has the status of prayer. Me'ikar hadin, you're mechuyev to wash your hands before you daven. When you daven, Shachris, everyone washes. Mitos Yadayim. Mincha, you're supposed to wash your hands before you daven mincha. There's nothing to talk about. Marav, you're supposed to wash your hands. People don't do it. I don't know why. You don't do it. But you're really supposed to wash your hands before you daven. The Haggadah is a Seder HaTefillah. Before you begin the Seder HaTefillah, you wash your hands. Did you ever see someone wash their hands with the bracha before they daven mincha and marav? No, that you don't do. You don't make a bracha, but you wash your hands. That's the Iker time why the Ramah and Darki Moshe says you wash before Karpas. Another reason why we wash is because we want to remember the bitterness. This is what it says in the Chaim Vital, the Mekubal. It's to remember that Paro washed his body in the blood of the children of Klal Yisrael. It's interesting because Karpas is in order to arouse the curiosity of the child. When you look at the child, you remember it's painful because in the time of Mitzrayim, this child that you're looking at, that you're trying to arouse his curiosity, you know what would have happened to him? He would have been taken away by Pyro's men. He would have been killed. They would have drained his blood. so Paro can have a bath in his blood in order to cure him from his leprosy. So as you begin, really, we're up to karpas. We're now going to dip, we're now going to dip the karpas, the vegetable, in the salt water in order to arouse the curiosity of the child. It's a pure, innocent child. And as you're about to do that, you say to yourself, wow, look how far we've gone. Back in Egypt, this child that I'm trying to wake up, you know what they would have done to him? They would have taken his blood, drained it, so that Pyro can wash himself. So you do that. You wash your hands in order that you should wake up, and now maybe you'll appreciate who this child is. Don't take your children for granted. Don't take the children, Hashem gave me a child, big deal. So let him fend for himself like a weed. Let him, the midas can be midas achzarius, vildachaya, and all. Don't take your children for granted. Back in Egypt, when you had this child, you would hide him, what you do to protect his life, so they shouldn't take parish and wash his body and his blood. To wake up and appreciate the child is, you wash your hands before you begin the process of trying to arouse his curiosity. It's very deep for Rav Chaim Vital. Next, another reason, okay, we've discussed who washes, the different hugging. Now let's go to karpas. Now I have a question which I have no answer for. Maybe someone here is super brilliant and will find me the answer. How karpas, the most classic reason, Rosh Tevis for karpas is samach perach. What is samach perach? The letters of karpas rearranged spell samach, 60, perach, crushing slave labor. What is samach symbolic of? 600,000, 60 times 10,000, right? Samach is 60, multiplied by 10,000, which means 600,000 members of Klal Yisrael were forced into slave labor at the time for 86 years in Mitzrayim. It's not true. There were 3 million Jews who were enslaved. V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. Only a fifth of 3 million were fortunate to leave Egypt. So my question is, I don't have an answer, why is karpas a remez for the crushing...
No, there were so many more than 3. Was 3 million actually left?
No, 3 million with the women, with the women and children. But okay, let's just focus on the men. So if only the chamushim alu me'eretz Mitzrayim, who were the ones who suffered? 3 million men between 20 and 60 suffered. So why then do we only focus on the 600,000 who made it out? I don't know the answer. But it's a pella, because everyone says karpas samach perach. But that's only after the fact of. By the way, the first one wants to point out this is the only place in the entire Haggadah where there's a remnant to the number 600,000. Bamidbar. Over and over again. Let's now count Klal Yisrael. The Torah is obsessed with knowing the number of the Pikudim to know how many members are there in Klal Yisrael. So you would think that somewhere in the Haggadah we should focus on this. No, the only place in the Haggadah that there's a remes to the shishim riboy of Klal Yisrael is only by the mitzvah of the minig of achilas karpas. Now, Rabbi Yisai, it's 11:30. We can either stop and take a break, or we can just keep him going straight until 12 o'clock. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
Go straight?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go straight. No, I'm fine. Okay. So this is the shishim riboy. Okay, next topic. We discussed Seba, Noah Seba. Okay, we discussed that karpas represents it's a reminder of our ingratitude. Zocharnu es hadaga relative to what we're calling to the matzah, the mun versus the vegetables that we discussed. Okay, now we're going to discuss the shnei tibulim. Okay, there are twice, Chazal by design wanted that we should dip twice. We dip the karpas in the salt water and we dip the moror in the charoses. Why is there a requirement to dip twice in the Chazal? Number one, it's our beginning and our end. The beginning, how did Yitzias Mitzrayim all come about? Because of the Sinas Chinam. It is a reminder of Sinas Chinam that Yosef, the brothers had for Yosef, Vayitbol es kutonto ba'dam. They dipped the tunic of Yosef in blood and they showed it to their father and said, Hakerna, is this the kesoines pasim of your son? This was the Siba, this hatred, the Sinas Chinam is what brought about the Churban. It's another remez to Masil Biginus, we're Messiah in the Shach. When we come tomorrow, we dip a second time. That represents Utvaltem Badam. You shall dip the hyssop, the ezoif, in blood, and you shall apply it to the mezuzos and the mashkoif. Uposach Hashem ala Pesach. So there's a dipping. The two dippings represent the concept of maskel beginus and messiah in beshvach. The maskel beginus is sinah schina. We're very tough on ourselves in the Haggadah. We represent with the karpas. We were kofu toiv. We liked vegetables better than we liked the man. We represent the dipping. We miyedchem hoisa zoislachem. All of our problems all come from ourselves. We are the cause. The sin aschin that we had for Yosef is what brought about the whole story of Yeridas Mitzrayim. Messiah Meshach is we have the matzah, the lechem dinusa, and utvaltem. When Hashem passed over the doors, it was through a mice of dipping. We dipped the ezoiv in the blood and applied it to the doors. Next. We make a bracha on the karpas borei pri adama. So we all know that when you make the bracha, you have to have kavan, and the bracha borei pri adama is also to be applied to the moror. You can eat the moror later on during the suda. So the borei pri adama, remember, has to go for the moror. You should not eat. The minig is not to eat. There's machlokes apayskim. Should eat a kazayis? Can you eat a kazayis? Not a kazayis. If I'm not mistaken, there are gedolei yisrael that were makbid to eat a kazayis moror. To eat a kazayis of karpas. To eat a kazayis of karpas, and then they would make a borei nefashos. They would make a bari nefashos on the karpas. That is not the common minug. The common minug is to eat pochos mikazayis, less than a kazayis. So you should not enter into the shalosh. Should you make a baruch achreina, and also the bracha of bari pri adama will be active, so it can be applied to the mor you're going to eat later on in the meal. Okay. If by mistake you do eat a kazayas, sometimes you get carried away, right? You're in a conversation, and you have and you keep on eating. Oh, what did I just eat? All the kazayas. By me, no, I make all the mistakes. I do rachza, I make a brach. I karpas, I eat a kazayas. What did I just do? Why did I just make a bracha? Why did I just eat a kazayas? So you really gotta pay attention. You cannot be spaced out by the seder if you really want to get it right. If you do by mistake, make a bracha. If you make a bracha by orchatz, so by the way, if you make a bracha when you do orchatz, you don't wash again. If you do make a bracha by mistake, okay, people, this happens all the time. Probably more often than not, people, they go to rachatz, so they wash their hands, and it's just they're on autopilot and they make a bracha. They don't realize what they're doing. So then you're in trouble. You have to be very, very careful the entire Haggadah to keep your hands clean. You should not touch any part of the body that's not meant to be touched.
Maybe you say, I blew it, now we got to eat matzah.
And then you eat matzah, when it comes to matzah, you wash without a bracha, because you already made a bracha, but make sure your hands are, let's say you do go to the bathroom, it's a very big problem. You go to the bathroom, you do make another bracha, you make a bracha, you wash again with the bracha. Okay, if you do eat a shear, you still do not make a bari nefashos. You're going to rely upon the birchas hamazon. Okay, as sabily discussed. Now there is a minhag. This is very interesting. We mentioned the ka'ara. We mentioned yesterday how many items do you put on the ka'ara. So the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, it only says four. Four things: the chazeres, the chareses, the zroya, the zroya, and the beitza. But then some say you add two more. You add the moror. The mor is to be added, and also the karpas. So some have a very interesting minhag, is that they take the karpas from the ka'ara, and after you do karpas, there's no more karpas on the ka'ara. Why? It doesn't really explain why. There must be something deeper to this. Is everything else remains on the ka'ara for the whole seder. The whole seder is going to be the zroya, the beitza, the chazeres, the moror, the karpas, what do I leave out? Whatever. All six items. But when you do karpas, that's it. If you are going to be from the school of those who do indeed put karpas on your ka'ara, it's only going to be there from the beginning of the seder until you do the karpas. After you eat the karpas, no more. No zecher. The karpas has to be removed. Why? I leave it to you to think about why that should be so. Most of us don't do that. Most of us leave the karpas on the kara the entire seder. But who says that's the correct thing? The karpas mikra doesn't belong there. Really, mi'ikra hadin, the karpas does not belong on the kara, period. For whatever reason, all of the designers in Grant Sterling have decided that there should be a place setting for karpas. It's there. But just because it's there, does that mean it should remain there the entire Seder, or it should be removed after it's taken away? Okay, now let's go to the next topic. Next topic is Yachatz. Now this I tell you every year. This is a very important Rabelski, fantastic Yisoid. In every Haggadah printed today, it says, it has the simonim. Where does it say the word Magid? Before which section of the Haggadah, does it say the word Magid? In every printed Haggadah, it says the word Magid before Hol Lach Ma'anya. Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, Magid. Where is Magid? Before you begin Hol Lach Ma'anya. Rabbi Belsky, Zechet Tzadik Livrachas, told, I heard him say this in Shir, it is a mistake, it is a printer's error. You look at the old, ancient Haggadahs, it does not say Magid before Hol Lach Ma'anya. Magid begins with Ma Nishtano. Ma Nishtano, Halayla Zed, that is the beginning of Magid. What then is Hol Lach Ma'anya? It's an incredible Yisoid. I know my father, he loved this. My father's Hol Livrach, he went crazy over this. Hol Lach Ma'anya is the amira, is the recital that accompanies yachatz. You have to do this at home. You have a whole different seder if you do this. My father really went to town with this. In other words, most of us are brought up, okay, kadesh, orchatz, karpas, oh, up to yachatz. Okay, a lot of fun. Take the matzah, the middle matzah, you break it, you put away the bigger piece in a special tefillin bag, and somehow it disappears. And you put the smaller piece back under the car. Okay, very good. Excellent. Okay. Everyone happy? We finish yachatz. The child, make a whole big deal. The child runs away with it. A whole big deal. 10 minutes later, okay, now we're ready to begin the Haggadah. Are all the children ready? Okay, we're ready. Let's begin the Haggadah. Before we ask the Banishtana, up to Magid. Ho lach ma'anya di'achola avo sona ba'aro di mitzrayim. If you say the nusach, and now we start manishtan halal azem, you call halalos. Rabelsky said that's dead wrong. It's not the way you're supposed to do it. You up to yachatz, you take the matzah, you pick up the middle matzah, you break the middle matzah, and as you break the middle matzah, you make the following declaration: Ho lach me'anya. This is the poor man's bread. Di achola avosana ba'aro de Mitzrayim. Anyone who wants to come and have some of this bread, kol dichdin yesev yechol, kol ditzrich yesev yisach. Hashata hachol l'shana ba'aro de Yisrael. The amira, this is incredible. The amira of Hol Lach Ma'anya is what you say when you break the matzah. And that's why it's said in Aramaic, in order to make it clear, you should clearly understand what the lechem oini, lechem sh'oin lov dvarim hane, and also it's an expression, the way he explained it is a frustration. This is what takes you back to last year. Last year, the last part of the Haggadah was, l'shana haba b'Yerushalayim. That's what you said last year. A whole year has passed. And now you come to the Seder. Are you in Yerushalayim? No, you're still here in Flatbush. I haven't gone anywhere. Same place, same channel. What? It's not the same Yishalayim. It's not the Yishalayim HaBenuya. That's why they add the word HaBenuya into the Nusach, because it's Yishalayim, but it's not Hashem HaBenuya or Mashiach. And you take the matz and you say, basically what you're saying is, last year I said, Lashana Haba. You know what? Crack the matz into half. Poor man's bread. Ho lach ma'anya. It's the same bread from last year. It's stale. It's the same stale matzah from last year. Nothing changed. A whole year has gone by. Mashiach has not come. We're still where we started. It's an expression of frustration. The frustration is built upon the hope and the anticipation you expressed at the end of last year's Haggadah, Seder. Last year you concluded with Lashana Haba, you are on a high. That was the anticipation. And now you begin to say there, take the bread. When you get angry, what do? When you get angry, you smash things. You get violent, right? You take a vase and you smash things. You get violent. That it's an act of violence. We think that yachatz, oh, very delicate, very delicate. Don't break the matzah too hard. Be very careful. No, that's not the way you do yachatz. Yachatz is violence. You take that matzah and you get worked up. Remember the anticipation from last year? Smash it! Oh, the same stale bread we had last year. That's what we have this year. And then at the end, you console yourself. No, maybe we botched it up last year. Maybe this year will be different. Maybe this year we'll get it right. That's how Rabbi Belsky fataych the Mahus of Yachatz and how he challenged. He went to town with every printer in the world. Every printer in the world, that how dare they insert into the Haggadah the word Magid before the words Holach Ma'anya, when Holach Ma'anya was meant to be the Amira for the Yachatz. I spoke to Rabbi Tam Chacham about this. So he told me, it's not so simple. It appears that there are very, very, very old Haggadahs that do have the word Magid before Holach Ma'anya. Not that Rabelsky is wrong, but it's something, it's an idea, it's a fascinating idea. I think it's my favorite var in the whole Haggadah. This idea, it's pshat, it's Haggadah, it's emotion.
Why have it just before the Manishtana?
Every Haggadah today has it, Magid. The word Magid appears before the word Manishtana. Here it's about Holach Ma'anya. Every Haggadah has it like that. Every Haggadah.
No, look, I learned it before Manishtana.
That's what he says. It's a gewaldig gevar because it's pshat, it's drush, it's emotion, it's violence. How often do you have a var that brings out violence and breaking the matzah? There are so many different things that come together in this idea. Okay, why do you break the middle matzah? Why not the top matzah? Why not the bottom matzah? So I only have two mahalchim. One a little more pshat, one more drush. One when pshat is, it corresponds to Levi. We know that the three matzahs correspond to Kohanim, Leviim, and Yisraelim. The matzah that's going to be broken is the matzah upon which the whole Haggadah is going to be said. I mean, that's the Iker matzah. That's the Lechem Oini. So the Kohen, you're going to be Mevaza the Kohen. Isn't a chutzpah? You're sitting at the Seder, and there are Kohanim sitting around. Anyone want a Kohen? You're a Kohen? You're a Kohen? And the Kohanim? Oh, this is the Kohen. This is the Levi. So which matzah should we select to be the Heftza of the Mitzvah upon which Sha'oin love Dvar Maharbe? Kohen! We don't want the Kohanim. Out! Arois! Like a shul. An aliyah, you're a Kohen? Get out. We want to give the aliyah to someone else. Maybe that's where it comes from. We tell the Kohen to go out. We don't give the Kohen. The Yisraelim, you're too ordinary. The Levi. Why the Levi? Because the Levim are the ones in Mitzrayim that were faithful. They are the only ones that continue to observe Bris Milah. They are the ones that continued to do the they were not part of the Shibut. The Levim were Tahirim. They were the pure ones in Egypt. They did not succumb to the Ervas Haaretz to the degree that everyone else did. The Nela Shevi, we want to give cover to Shevi Levi. Even though the Kohanim are from Shevi Levi, you know, we can't deny that. Kohanim are, but we want to emphasize the Shevi to represent that when it comes to a mitzvah, the mitzvah has to be done b'tahara. And from the candidates that we have available to us tonight, the one that we're going to emphasize the mitzvah, the Levi is the Tahar. Now I want to tell you a deeper Vard. Now this Vard is an interesting Vard, and maybe I'm thinking out loud, and I came across something which really intrigued me yesterday. In the Haggadah, no, everything revolves around the Ovos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Now, is Avraham in the Haggadah? He certainly is. Avraham Avinu, the Bris Ben Abasarim. Right, we mentioned in the Haggadah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forged the covenant with Avram Avinu, the Bris Ben Absarim. We mentioned the whole Bris Ben Absarim. So Avram gets honorable mention. Is Yaakov in the Haggadah? Absolutely. That's the very first thing. Arami of Avi is, who's the Avi? Avi is Yaakov Avinu. Arami is Lavan, he wanted to kill Yaakov Avinu. So Yaakov Avinu is very prominent. Is Yitzchak in the Haggadah? Now, I didn't go through the entire Haggadah. I think he's mentioned in passing. We mentioned him in passing. We mentioned Moshe in passing. We mentioned the pasuk of Zachariah, Yisbrisi, Avram. We mentioned Yitzchak, but Yitzchak is not given, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, I'll go through the Haggadah carefully, he doesn't get center stage. Avraham gets center stage. Bris ben Habasarim is in the Haggadah. It's there. Yaakov is there. But Yitzchak, he's just an afterthought. He's like Moshe. He's there, you know. And the three matzahs, you know, the three matzahs, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What happened to Yitzchak? What happened to Yitzchak? So let me ask you another question. Okay, the answer to this question. Let's go back to the Birchas Yitzchak. When Yitzchak gave the bracha to Yaakov, and Yaakov stole the brachas that stole, but he cleverly acquired the brachas from Yitzchak and took them away from Esav. It was the night of Pesach. Now, in the night of Pesach, you need a lot of things for the Seder. You have to have matzah, you have to have maror, you have to have karpas, you have to have chareses, you have to have, what else do you have to have? You have to have all the different things. Karm Pesach, you need the Karm Pesach. So, did Yaakov Avinu have a Karm Pesach? Yes, mat'amim, shnei gidoyei izim. What does Rashi there tell us? Karban chagiga, which is the dinner, right? That's the dinner, in order that it should be nechal al ha-soiva, and then came the Karban Pesach. Was there yayin? Well, that wasn't part of the plan, but we know that Rashi says, vayove lo yayin vayesht. There's a special trop. Vayove, vayove, vayove. Merchel kefula. There was all of a sudden wine appeared out of nowhere. Wine, so there was Karban Pesach. Karban Chagiga, there was Yayin. Was there matzah? Yeah, it says the Pesach of the Pasuk, yes, halechem. It says that Rivka gave him the matamim and then gave him lechem. What's the lechem? The lechem is matzah. What about karpas? Was there karpas? It's a very important part of the Haggadah. Rav Meir, you have to have karpas, right? So where's the karpas? So the answer, no, not the karpas. I'm sorry, not the karpas. Not the karpas. The charoses. Karpas is a later enactment. You dip the mor in the charoses. What is one of the most important ingredients in the charoses? Apples. Tapuchim. That's the key ingredient to the charoses is tapuchim. Vayorach lo yasreach. Vayorach, what do you say? Rei kireach bini, kireach hasodeh asher berachoy Hashem. And what does Rashi say? Kistei tapuchim. Ah, I smell apples. If he's smelling apples, that means it was the Seder, and it was Chareises. So we got the Matzah, we got the Karm Pesach, the Karm Chagiga, we even have Chareises. What are we missing? And someone stole the Afikoman also, by the way. We got everything, right? It's the perfect Seder. There's only one thing that's missing. And there's Yinak in the front, Mora. Where is the Mora? I saw this question asked in Rav Schlesinger's Haggadah. Where is the mora? Where is the mora, the bitterness? So Rav Schlesinger says something very, very deep. I didn't delve into what he means. You have to see the whole thing inside. Yitzchak himself is mora. How can you say such a terrible thing? How can you say such a shocking thing like that? Yitzchak is mora. What is mora? Mora represents bitterness. It doesn't mean bitterness where you're on medication. You go to a psychiatrist and give them medication because you're bitter about life. Mara means difficulty. It means mesiras nefesh. In Golos, it's hard to be a Jew. Okay, you're not allowed to say that because that's a very dangerous thing to say. But you came to America, and if you don't come on Shabbos, you don't come to work on Shabbos, then don't come back on Sunday. You're fired. So what did people do? People didn't come on Shabbos. Were they bitter? No, they weren't bitter. They weren't bitter. They were the meiser nefesh for Shabbos. Shabbos, I have an opportunity to give up my job in honor of Shabbos. Am I bitter about this? People were dancing in the streets. Some of them. I have an opportunity like none other. Is it difficult? Is it painful? Is it hard? Do I have daigus? Or how am I going to support my family? Yeah, that's the moral. The maror, you have to understand what maror is. Maror, we don't translate the word maror correctly. We try it, maror is bitter. In fact, we have chazeres. Chazeres is not bitter. It's not bitter. There's a tinge that it can become bitter in the future. This potent, but it's not bitter. In fact, it's sweet. Most of the lettuce is sweet. That's because maror doesn't mean bitter. Maror means an asayon. It's a test. Your emuna is challenged. And yet, I'm going to be moiser nefesh to do what Hashem wants, even though it is difficult in my mind, logically, for me to carry through with it. The ultimate person who was morar, mahus of morar, is Yitzchak. Yitzchak went to the Akedah. 39 years old, 37 years old, a whole life ahead of him. And what did he do? I'm giving up my life to Hashem. Ayeh hasel li'oyla. Elokim yirulay hasel li'oyla bini. Vayelchu shneim yachtav. Is there any greater moror than this in the history of the world? Chazal tell us the only reason why people have the koyach bizman hazeh, Holocaust, you know, all Rahman Mutzlan, Tach V'Tad, all the horrors of Jewish history, it's only because of the Koyach of Yitzchak. Yitzchak was the one who put into the DNA of a Jew they can give, they can be Meisa Nefesh. The Koyach of Mesiras Nefesh comes from Yitzchak. Is Yitzchak. So you want to know where the Moral was at the Seder. You want to know where the Moral was at the Seder. Okay? You want to know where the mar was at the Seder on when Yaakov took the brachos, when Yaakov took the brachos from Yitzchak? Yitzchak is the mar. He represents the mar. So now, I'm thinking out loud. I don't have an answer. Question is, where is Yitzchak? Where is Yitzchak at the Seder? Avraham is the chesed. Eshel, right? Avraham was the one who gave food to everyone. Avraham told everyone, come into my hotel, I'm going to give you achila, shesia, levia. We eat matzah, we drink wine, we open up the door to bring the guests in. We holach ma'ayin kol dichvin yesev yechol. And when the Seder is over, we go out to greet Eliyahu HaNavi. Right? Avraham is all throughout the Seder. Avraham is, where's Avraham? The matzah, the yayin, and the whole Seder Hadvar in the Shulch, the guest is all Avraham Avinu. Where is Yaakov? Titen emes li Yaakov, the whole Sipur. Li garta levincha bayoy ma'ahu le'mor, the entire Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is all Yaakov Avinu. Torah. The relating the story to your children, we got to levincha v'shinantam levanecha v'dibarta bam l'man tesav b'ozne bincha v'en bincha eis asher eslati Mitzrayim, the whole Malchus of the Seder is Yaakov Avinu. Where is Yitzchak? Yitzchak is the Maror. The Malchus of Yitzchak is the Maror. Maror, you don't emphasize. Avraham is mentioned in the Nusach of the Seder. Yitzchak, Yaakov is there in the Seder. Maror, like Rav Moshe Feinstein used to say, don't say it's difficult to be a Jew. Even though you know what that means, but people who, children or people who listen to hear you say that, they don't appreciate what you mean to say. They take it the wrong way. And then they decide, just because my father had a bitter life, I have to also have a bitter life. Yitzchak is not mentioned in the Haggadah. Because Yitzchak is the Haggadah. Moror, that's the whole story of the Seder. The whole story of the Seder is Vayimoru Eschayim Avodah Kasha. That's the Seder of the Haggadah. But you don't overdo it. Just like Rav Moshe says, don't say it's difficult to be a Jew. Don't dwell on the nisoyon of what it means to be a Jew, because especially since the whole Seder is all about children, you're sitting around the Seder with Vigat Levincha Bayamu Leimar, you don't want to send the wrong message to the child that it's moror to be a Jew. It's all about Mesiras Nefesh. Not everyone is ready for that. Therefore, we keep it under the radar. It's not mentioned in the Haggadah. Okay, let's now go to the next thing about Yachatz. We put away the bigger piece of matzah for later on. That's just a devar musa for life. In life, for later, always put away for later the bigger portion. Put away the bigger portion. Make sure you have a good pension plan. If now you just take a mashu. This is it's a discipline. This is the first yisod you teach children. By you sing about the Seder, you teach children the Kei Yachatz. What do we put away for later? Do we put away for later the small piece? Or do we put away for later the big piece? It's the whole Seder is Chinuch HaBonim. The first lesson of Chinuch HaBonim is to teach the children, put away for later the good stuff. For now, you just get by. The child steals the Afikoman. Is this a Jewish way? Loi Tignoif. Okay, there's so many in Hanami throughout the ages. This is a very controversial thing. If it's proper for the child to steal the achikoymen, to mechanich them to steal, not to do this in Zman, we should stop doing this in Zman. If the goyim find out about this, the chil Hashem is off the charts when they hear about this.
Talking about ransom, that's a ransom.
What? So the truth always, the farsha say, is you have to understand that the whole story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, there's so many gnevas. Let's talk about Yaakov, Erev Pesach. It was Erev Pesach when Avraham Avinu died. Yaakov Avinu, basically, he stole the birthright by selling, giving him some lentils. That's a ma'aseh geneva kimat. Right? I'm going to buy the bechor by giving you some lentils. The bechor is priceless. But lentils, it's a ma'aseh geneva, erev Pesach. The night of Pesach, Yaakov stole the brachas. It's still the brachas. Bo achicha b'mirma. B'mirma in deceit. Yitzchak Avinu himself said that the taking of the brachas was b'mirma. Deceit, which is gezel to some degree. What else happened to Geneva? When they went down, they when Yosef went down to Mitzrayim, when Yosef was sold, they deceived their father. They said, the whole mitzvah of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Yiridas Mitzrayim, Yosef, he was taken down to Mitzrayim, came about through deceit that Yosef was killed. He was killed by an animal. When they took clothing out of, when they borrowed the clothing, it wasn't a true she'ela. There are many answers to this question, but on a very simple level is, I want you to go to the Egypt. I want you to borrow. Borrow? You mean you want us to steal? We're leaving for good. We're not coming back. I know there are a lot of answers. On a very simple level, Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, Rabbi Yisai, we're leaving. The plane is leaving. Get ready. Pack. By the way, don't just pack what you have in your closet. Go to your next door Egyptian neighbors and tell them that you want to borrow everything they have. So the Jewish people say, well, you don't mean borrow, you mean steal, because we're going to borrow from them with no intent of ever giving it back to them. So is that not a maisa of Geneva? Yaakov and Lavan. Yaakov, we mentioned the Haggadah, Arami Oyveravi. How did Yaakov escape? It says, Vayignoiv es Levavi. Lavan says to Yaakov. It's what?
A slave Lavan.
It says the Pharish in the Torah that when Yaakov escaped Golos, the Golos, going back to Eretz, which is a mice of a similar Banim, Vayignoiv a slave Lavan. And he himself confronted Vatignoiv es Levavi. Rochel, Vatignoiv es Hatrofim. Okay, that also has whatever that all means. So the whole story of Klal Yisrael from beginning to end does really have a tinge of Geneva, which of course is Chas V'Shalom. We all know that it's not real Geneva. Everything is legit. Everything is 100%. But it's not so unheard of is that there should be a minig of stealing Chaytan Esraf Yikoyimin B'derech Geneva, because there were many Genevas. And in fact, maybe that is what the Baal Haggadah is trying to address. It's a very difficult thing to explain to get the record straight. A child is very innocent. And when you read the Torah and you see that Yaakov stole the brachas, ben mirma, and Yaakov Avinu, the b'chayra, all the different examples that we've given, to a child, it sends the wrong message. And the message is, you're allowed to steal, you're allowed to be engaged in deceitful conduct. And that's the simple reading of the psukim. I know, you go through the b'farshim, so you have a whole new appreciation of what's going on. This is a stop. The child is now going to blatantly steal the afikomen. That's what the minig is. This is a call for the father to say, wait a minute, hey, you can't steal. Okay, that this is connected, kol hatoyra kula, to go steal the afikomen. The minig is to steal the afikomen. It causes a parent now to reflect, to explain, you're not really stealing the afikomen. We're putting it away for later on. It awakens a parent to now review with the child all of the difficult portions of the Torah which are misleading and have to be properly explained. That's one of the big things that, you know, in education, in government, transparency. Trust us. It may not seem that everything is kosher v'yosher, but you got to trust us. No. It's not the way it works. There's got to be transparency. The Torah here, in this Maisa, with his Geneva, it is an opportunity to force the father to review the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, which has many of these events of B'mirma, Bo'achicha B'mirma, Ve'ichas B'chosecha, and to explain, to get the record straight, that it's not Geneva. This is the way, everything has to be explained, you understand what I mean, it has to be explained in the proper way. Interesting Shiloh. What happens? Open up your box of matzahs. Okay? Open up, you have a seder, only one seder, you have a box of matzahs. And you need for the seder three matzahs, right? Three matzahs. The Kohen, the Levi, the Yisrael, you have three matzahs. And then when it comes to Yachatz, you're going to break the middle matzah. I cannot find in the batch three shleimim. I cannot find in the whole batch. I can only find two shleimim. So you'll say to yourself, okay, I have two shleimim, I'll take two shavarim, two broken pieces, and that will be my mil matzah. The shayla, the lumbus of shayla. Is there a din, the lumbus, that used to break the matzah? Or is the din that the matzah should be broken? Should be broken. Line after mina. Does it make a difference if it already will lechatchila, of course you break the matzah. But should you exert yourself to go open up more boxes and more boxes to find a shalom so you can be mekayim the maisa of shavira, of breaking the matzah? So the answer is yes. He quotes here the Marshal. The Marshal says, "Meikar hadin you don't. Meikar hadin you can take a shavur and you can put it in your thing. You got two shleim and one shavur." But the Marshal says, "But lehidur mitzvah." He calls it a hidur mitzvah. You should start off with a shalem and you should break it, because this is going to be the matzah which you're going to be mekayim the mitzvah. The mitzvah of v'higarta levincha b'ayom ahu lemar ba'avur zeh lo yamarti el b'sho sheyesh matzah mar munachem lefonecha. You're going to use this matzah to be mekayim the mitzvah of v'higarta levincha. You're going to use this matzah for yachilas lechem oini. If you want to be mahadar in the mitzvah, the same way when it comes to an esrog, you buy the most beautiful esrog. The way to be mahadar in the matzah is to start out with a sholei, the perfect matzah, and then to make from this perfect matzah into a shever to now be the kind of mitzvah. But if you're going to start out with the broken
mishnah, you don't have that.
No, you have two matzahs. You have already three matzahs. You have three matzahs for the lechem mishnah. Lechem mishnah, you already have two shleimim. You have two shleimim.
Yeah, so you're going to make one of the sholei.
But our meaning is to have three. So you have two shleimim, one and three, and then in the middle is going to be the mil matzah.
The broken one you found in the box.
And that's going to be the matzah. That's the lechem oni. That's the prusa. My darkosh shel oni be prusa. So it's a very interesting idea. Is this mil matzah is going to be the matzah upon which you mekayim the mitzvah? Therefore, it is chal upon this matzah. Ze keli v'anveihu. No one thinks of it like that. You look at the matzah. It's lechem oni. It's a poor man's bread. It's a broken piece of matzah. The whole malchus of the mitzvah should be a shvach matzah. It should be burnt. It should be corrupt. That's what the whole mitzvah matzah is about. The Marshal says he's making a big mistake. The matzah should start out as perfect as possible, because this is hidur mitzvah. Some people, you know, you go, you buy a very expensive matzah, all these crazy chumras, and the matzah can cost who knows what. You get it, it's baked erev Pesach. The matzah that you bake erev Pesach should be the middle matzah. It should be the matzah that's not the matzah that you're going to eat later on. Actually, you did it also later on. But the matzah that you went to Erev Pesach to the matzah in the factory and paid $10 for that matzah, the matzah that was baked Erev Pesach, after Chatzos, that should be the middle matzah. And upon that middle matzah, it's mechudar. That you break the matzah to make from that matzah the prusa to proceed into the Haggadah. All right, so Mirtz Hashem, we're going to have to continue next week with this.